Okay, so could you just tell me, like, what's your name, where you come from, and exactly what you're doing down here today?
My name's Simon Roadknight. I suppose I'm a little bit of an activist, I suppose, within Batley. I'm Batley born and bred, originally from Staincliffe, living at Healy, which is littered with problems at the minute. I made a film on Batley in 2014, which was shown at the Frontier before it closed. We had people queuing to get in. I'm also a member of the Batley History Group. I'm on the committee there, and I oversee the website and everything.
Okay, so what are your thoughts on the recent events at Batley Grammar School, where a teacher showed an image of the Prophet Muhammad in a lesson about blasphemy, and the huge backlash where he's now in hiding for fears of his life?
Well, the things I objected to are many, really. First off, we are understood to believe that he was following the curriculum set out for him by the school. The school, in my humble opinion, hung him out to dry completely. And what I found totally unsavoury was the braying mob there for 3 days running, many of which weren't even from the area. They were coming from the likes of Rochdale and Oldham, shipped in. And I'd just like to add that the ringleader of all this is the brother of our beloved council leader.
So could you elaborate on what you just said about some people being shipped in? Could you explain exactly what you're talking about?
Well, we have reports that it was from the likes of Oldham and Rochdale.
You're talking about the backlash?
The protesters, yeah. It was an organised protest. And like I say, in my humble opinion, I think the way that teacher was treated was absolutely shameful from beginning to end. And he's still living in fear of his life as a consequence.
And the fears for his life do seem justified, considering what we've seen has happened in France.
Absolutely. You know, it's dangerous ground we're walking on. And it's a sensitive issue. And what you'll find a recurring theme is in Batley amongst many people is there's almost a fear of speaking out against a certain section of the community for exactly this type of thing. If you object to especially the Labour-run council and our last absolutely tremendous MP, and I say that very much tongue-in-cheek, you're branded racist, far-right. We're anything but. We're a very tolerant people. I went to school with many a Muslim. I played cricket with them. I counted them as friends. We lived where I grew up. Our next-door neighbours were Asian, you know, so it's a complete falsehood.
So why do you think it is that people are scared to say what they think about the teacher going into hiding? What do you think they're afraid of?
Well, look at the way the candidates have responded. None of them are approaching the subject, hence what's happening today. People are fed up. It's one thing after another.
Could you explain to me what you just said? Because explain to me as if I know what you're talking about when you say that they haven't spoken about it, but pretend that I don't know anything about it.
Right, well,
the situation.
It's a hot topic, obviously. You know, again, it put Batley in the headlines for all the wrong reasons. You know, this is a great town, great people, and it's been spoiled. I mean, again, in my opinion, by a left-wing agenda. And I'm talking as a former Labour voter. I wouldn't dream of voting Labour right now. I dare say I'll never vote Labour ever again after. Since Mr Corbyn came in, the whole agenda seems to have changed. You know, the new lad, Sickier as I like to call him, is no better. He's absolutely, it's virtue signalling, wokeism, all these terms that you're hearing. We're bombarded with it. And Batley has real problems. You've only looked at the high street. I was a chairman of the Friends of Batley Library because that was under the threat of closure. This fantastic building here right behind you. Kirklees Council wanted to close that a few years ago. And obviously I gave that role up for health reasons, as you can see. I couldn't do everything. And again, there's an air of nastiness in the town. You know, it's the problems here are many. You know, speeding cars, lawlessness is where I grew up in Staincliffe. It's changed beyond all recognition. You know, we've had bodies in walls exploding, drug factories. The horror stories are many, And I think folks just had enough. And if you speak out, you're racist. You know, it's... And it's just, to me, it's coincidental that it... You know, the perpetrators have been Asian. It could have been anybody. But they have been. And but you can't talk about it. And I've always said, for whatever reason, the Asian community seem to be above criticism. You cannot call their actions or what they stand for into question whatsoever without being branded racist or a far-right. I'm not a far-right extremist. I met Jo Cox. I met her on a number of occasions. I quite liked her. I won't be voting for her sister all the same, but...
What do you think about the fact that none of the other candidates are choosing to speak about this issue, and why do you think they're not choosing to speak about the issue?
Because it's a sensitive issue, and we're thinking straight away, the likes of myself and many others are thinking, because they're pandering to the core vote, what's called the core vote, you know, and whether that's true or not, I wouldn't like to say. But it's a sensitive issue, it needs addressing, and they're not willing to do it. Yet you'll have Miss Ledbetter posing on the steps of Chicks at Dixie's fast food place with them all wearing Free Palestine t-shirts. That doesn't go down well here. You know, it might do well among the Asian fraternity, but it won't do it for the rest of everybody. And Labour just cannot get that into their heads. They cannot understand that things like that upset people. Everyday man in the street. And this is what we're up against. We've been battling this now for ever since, sadly, the demise of Jo Cox. Tracy Brabin were a complete and utter washout.
Who will you be... thanks for sharing all that, by the way.
Oh, you're okay.
Who will you be voting for, and who do you think's going to get in?
I actually think the Conservatives going to win, and if push comes to shove, I shall be voting, because I believe folks should go out and vote. I shall probably vote Conservative, and that is something I can assure you that I always vowed I would never do. That is, again, demonstrative of the depth of feeling that exists in this town right now. People have had enough of Labour and their half-baked policies. You've only to take a look on Commercial Street. You know, I stood there on the steps of the library about 5 years ago, the Saturday before Christmas, and if I counted 10 people walking on there at dinner time the week before Christmas, that says everything you need to know about this town centre right now. It's very, very sad. And it upsets me because I do care a lot for my town.
Could you tell me what your name is and what you're actually doing here today?
Steve Story-Smith, my name is, and I'm quite a new member of the Reclaim Party. I thought I would come up here and take the opportunity to see what is actually happening here. I'd like to meet Lawrence, and I've got a few things to discuss with him, so I would like to kill two birds with one stone, really. But this is important, a perspective of, well, a mirror image of what is happening around the country. We all want to live in peace, we all want to live in harmony. I don't think our government's allowing us to do that.
What do you mean by that?
Restrictions. On our civil liberties, basically. I think we've gone far enough with what we've been experiencing over the last year or so. I think an awful lot of people are suffering from depression, anxiety, and I think as the government's they should be leading, and people give them a little bit of a brighter perspective on life. The British people really need to turn the corner now, and as all these vaccinations been taken part, I can't see any reason for denying people their holidays, especially when most of UEFA are coming over here, all free, no quarantine. It's a bit dictatorial.
You mentioned before I put the camera on, you mentioned that you've had quite the drive to come here, so you could tell me how far you've travelled and what it was.
200 miles, it's from North Suffolk.
And what motivated you to drive 200 miles?
Basically now I am a pensioner, and time is my own when my wife lets me, and I think it's quite important to come up here today. I know Yorkshire quite well because I've got relations up here, but in Otley, but I've never been to Batley before, but I find this extremely important, and I've met a lot of people from the broad spectrum of society, all very friendly, all very nice, and I just want to see how far this goes, and I hope as a good debate this evening, a nice peaceful, tolerant debate.
I agree. Could you tell me what you think about the incident that took place at Batley Grammar School, where a teacher is now in hiding for showing a picture of a cartoon mermaid?
Possibly it's a double-sided thing. This is. Perhaps the gentleman concerned, the picture he used, I don't know what the picture he used, I have no idea, but perhaps some people did find it offensive. But on the other hand, there must be debate about this and understanding from both sides. I'm sure the gentleman concerned had no intention of offending anyone's faith. We've all got to be very tolerant of each other, and if someone has overstepped the mark, I'm sure he's extremely sorry about it, but I think we need to come together, all groups, all religions, we need to come together and talk more and learn from each other more, as we're a very much a mixed society in our country now, so we must learn from each other.
Do you think that if he, because he showed this cartoon of Prophet Muhammad, do you think that that's like, do you think the backlash was appropriate to the action? Did the punishment fit the crime?
Well, I hear the gentleman is in a safe house at the moment with his family, regarding he's worried about his life, which is extremely worrying. Everyone makes mistakes in life, but they shouldn't have to pay for it with their lives. There should be an open debate about this. I think also the local constituent Labour Party should be more to the front on this and try and possibly rectify it. We can't keep stepping away from things like this. We have to have debate. And after all, that's what our country's based on. We must be tolerant of each other. And I don't like anybody being threatened, even though they probably did it without any bad intentions. But I just hope the community he offended will take a step back, and possibly we can, you know, come to some kind of compromise where everyone is happy.
Do you think there might be a dynamic taking place in this town and on a broader level in this country where people are actually a bit afraid to say what they think on issues like this for fear of being branded?
Yes, they are. They are.
What are your thoughts on that? Do you think that's a thing, and what's your thoughts on it?
They are. Many years ago, I had relations who lived in Hungary, and I used to go over there every summer. And that was in the days when it was a socialist state. And little by little, I can see basically our society reflecting a very oppressive system. If people are frightened to speak, then there's something wrong with the system. Very, very wrong. And you see it in people's expressions now, the demeanour. They look depressed. And most people don't want to enter conversation for fear of upsetting somebody. And that's very worrying. Years ago, we'd all speak our mind, and not all the time everyone would be happy about it, and it used to be that's the way it always was in our society. But we're tolerant of everyone, of their beliefs and their views, and after all, we can't all have the same, but we must live together in peace. That's most important. There's so much war and strife and anger and hate in this world now, and we don't want anything like that to happen here. We really don't.
Okay, so could you tell me, like, who you are, what your name is, and what your relationship with the area is?
My name's David Sprout. I'm a resident of Batley. My kids go to Batley Grammar School, so we were obviously affected by the incident that took place earlier this year. And after all the disruption, obviously with COVID and things like that, we didn't understand really. Why anybody would want to disrupt the school, you know, after these, after obviously the year that we've had, over the lesson that took place, And also, we never understood why exactly the teacher was sort of thrown under the bus as a scapegoat when other teachers had taken the same lesson before this, you know, and it were known about. His superiors obviously kind of, if anyone should have answered to any calls of any wrongdoing, then, you know, we think his superiors should have been talked about more. And you know, the final thing is that he's still in hiding, you know, and his family is in fear for their safety and their livelihoods. And in this day and age, that's just wrong. Completely wrong, you know. Nobody committed any crimes here, and yet, you know, the teacher's left in fear for his life.
Do you think that it's justified, the fear that he has taken into account the incidents that have taken place?
Well, I do, yes, because there's a lot of things, whether right or wrong, but it were called a peaceful protest, but we heard reports that people were carrying knives at the gates. I mean, who goes to a peaceful protest carrying knives? Also, why were people coming in from Rochdale and Oldham? The people outside the school, they were not even parents of anybody at the school. Half of them were not even from Batley. So, yeah, I think it is justified.
Do you think that we have a problem in this town, but on a broader, like, national level in the country, maybe even, you know, in the entire Western world, of people being scared to say what they think for fear of being branded a certain way?
Yeah, I definitely do, but I think you know, the problem is probably worse around this area. Obviously, it's a mixed area. And, you know, yeah, you can't speak about problems without being branded a racist, you know. And it's wrong. It's wrong.
I was thinking when I was driving up here today just quite how obscene it is that a man and his four kids and his wife are actually in hiding. Do you think that the national press and the major political parties are doing their job in reporting on this properly?
No, I honestly think that for anybody that wants to be elected for this area, you know, this is completely wrong. And the first thing that they should be addressing, the first thing on that agenda should be, we should all get the facts of what happened at Batley Grammar, why it happened, who was to blame, if there is anybody to blame, how we go on after this, and get that teacher back in his role safely. You know, it's completely wrong. Nobody should live in fear to go and do their job. You know, and that's wrong.
What do you think is the solution moving forward? Do you think there's any way that this guy is going to be able to return to his job?
I'm not sure there is, no. I'm not sure there is. I think the one of the biggest problems straight away, I mean, I'm not saying that the headmaster of the school acted alone. I'm sure he were advised by his superiors in whatever way, but unfortunately, he were made a scapegoat right at the beginning, which it's kind of, as soon as he was suspended, that's like admitting some kind of wrongdoing, you know. And the press, you know, even though there are facts come out quietly, after nobody's been kind of making this as public as it possibly could be to try and let people know that the teacher, he never acted on his own showing these images, as far as we know. So, again, why are people not, you know, shouting from rooftops that it's not the guy himself? You know, they didn't create the cartoons either. It was shown in a lesson that is used to educate kids, you know. And to be honest, I'd be offended if my kids were not, you know, made aware of these sort of issues that caused the atrocities abroad. I'd be more offended about that.
Do you think here in England we should have so much sensitivity to any religion? Do you think it's important for us to be able to criticise and even mock?
No, we should be tolerant and we should take in. But as I said, the protest that happened at Batley, why does any parent, no matter what, want to disrupt the school more, use those kind of tactics? You sit down with the people in the school, you know, talk about it and resolve the issues that are there. Not, you know, grown men outside disrupting a school. And at the end of the day as well, I think the, you know, the, we bring our kids up in this country or we should want them to be sort of building their own impressions on current affairs, getting the idea behind these schools is to gain their own opinions, get their own fact, make their own facts, and be a better generation than we were before, you know. So
I couldn't agree more. If you hold the mic a tiny bit closer to you for the final question. Who are you going to vote for in the upcoming by-election?
I've not decided yet, to be honest. At the moment, because of the obvious silence on this, I would have to say I've just got no sort of inkling on whether I'll vote for any of them, because I don't think any of them are worth voting for this area. The one person who is worth voting for, obviously, is Paul Halloran, but he's not going to be standing, because he stands up for this area, you know, no matter one person, race, religion, he stands for everybody and, the best for this area. But he can't get anywhere, so...
What are your views on Paul standing down?
Well, I wish he'd have carried on, but it's obviously, you know, it's difficult for him to get anywhere, you know, and there's a lot of apathy as well. I think a lot of people just don't turn out and take any interest. You know, everybody's busy, yeah, but, you know, there's not enough interest in it. It's too much apathy. So, you know, that causes, situation as we have it. You can't complain after when you don't take any time to get to know anything about the candidates who are standing for the area, you know. Simple as that.
One last question then. What exactly are you doing here this evening?
Well, we wanted to hear the outcome, you know, and hear what's said here and see if there's, you know, as I said, we feel really sorry for and upset for the teacher. You know, there's such a lot of backing and support for him from the school, you know, the kids set up the petition to get him back, you know, and how people can stand by and let a guy like, you know, of his age and his young family have his career trashed, you know, and fear for his life, and then not really be making that the first issue is just disgusting behaviour. So that's why we're here, you know, we want to see some resolution to it.
Good evening, and thank you very much to Paul Halloran for inviting me here, and it's a great pleasure to come and speak to the people of Batley. Thank you so much for turning up. The reason I am here is because I stand with the teacher, and it is absolutely shameful that neither of the main political parties are addressing this clearly very important issue. The Reclaim Party stands for freedom of speech, for tolerance, for the broadest possible debate, and for the preservation of our British culture, our shared British culture. We are all British here. As you all know, in March, a teacher at Batley Grammar School showed a cartoon depiction of Muhammad in a religious studies class, and subsequent to this was suspended by his head teacher. He was thrown under the bus by his local education union, and he was thrown under the bus by his local MP, and he was thrown under the bus by our government and mostly by the media. He is now living fearful of his life in hiding with his partner and four young children. Indeed, the only people that stood up for this teacher vocally, other than you good people, were the bin men of the Unite Union of Bury. Yeah. Bravo to them. Yeah. And to the young students who formed a group in opposition to his suspension from within the grammar school, and I applaud them, and they are our hope for the future. It has since been agreed that pictures of the Prophet will never be shown again following this direct action, and the school has apologised to the demands of an intolerant minority. And now, as a result, we have a de facto blasphemy law brought in by a mob, not by Parliament, not with royal assent, but by a mob. This is not the Britain we want to live in. We cannot have an education policy driven by intimidation, bullying, and death threats. Freedom of speech does not mean that we condone the speech of those we disagree with. It means that we fight for their right to express themselves freely. Without freedom of speech, other weapons are used to make people's points for them. The fact that the Batley Labour Council tried to ban this gathering today makes very clear where they stand on freedom of speech. And as Martin Daubney quite rightly pointed out, where the hell is Ryan Stevenson? But I want to be positive, actually. I want to say what has been so heartening is this group of students who stood up in Batley Grammar School in the absence of any moral leadership whatsoever from their elected officials and those who are charged with their care of their education. And having had long discussions with Paul Halloran, who is a wonderful man who cares deeply about this area, we decided not to stand and let the main parties fight it out between themselves. The Reclaim Party will be standing a candidate here come the general election when Boris calls it. And we very, very much look forward to introducing you to our candidate. Some of you may know him already. With that, I'm going to pass you back to Martin. Thank you very much again for coming and for listening. I stand with the teacher.
Thank you, Lawrence, and thank you for a very warm response. I'm now going to read out a statement that I intimated at the beginning from a parent whose two children attend Batley Grammar School. She was too fearful to give us her identity, so this statement has been given out anonymously, but it's from the heart, and I think we deserve to listen to the parents who've been sidelined so often from this debate. Firstly, it must be said that Batley Grammar is a fantastic school and a learning environment for those who want to learn. Speaking as the parents of two children who have attended the school, it has to be said that the teachers and staff do a fantastic job in what must surely be a difficult area to teach in. I'm sure the school, and indeed all schools, have their faults here and there, but we have absolutely no complaints against the school itself. As parents, whatever race or religion, surely we all want exactly the same for our kids. We want them to grow into young adults with their own minds and their own opinions on the current affairs of today. We want our schools to inspire our kids to be better than the last generation. We also want them to learn in a safe environment. This is why the events that took place at Batley Grammar School earlier this year simply do not make any sense from the perspective of anyone who has ever brought up kids. But then most of the mob that turned out to protest were not parents of kids at Batley Grammar School anyway. Many of them weren't even from Batley. The one thing we were and still are most disappointed about was the treatment of the teacher at the centre of the whole episode. Both of our kids were taught by this teacher in question, and from their comments, he comes across as a very talented teacher and an absolute and complete credit to the school and his profession. The subsequent silence from all parties concerned after the event is absolutely diabolical and needs to be called out for what it is: cowardice. It seems fair to say that the teacher in question was just going about his duties as demanded by his superiors, but at the first hint of any controversy, he was offered up by the same people as a sacrifice to the mob outside of the school gates. If anyone's career should be affected, it should be those higher up the chain. Finally, the act that this teacher and his young family are still having to be hidden away in fear for their lives, and all the current candidates candidates vying for your vote don't think it even warrants a mention, in case they upset core voters, it only goes to show just how far Batley has sunk in the last few years. Those current candidates and the media who allow the facts to be skewed at the expense of this teacher and his family's safety and livelihood should be deeply, deeply ashamed of themselves. That concludes the statement from the parent. And now I'd like to hand over to Mr. Paul Halloran. Round of applause for Paul.
Thank you, Martin. Many people know me here. I'm not a seasoned politician. I have to write things down. I'm not as good as George. Just can't let it all go. But I've wrote something down. I hope you all pay attention. It's a timeline of the events because a lot of people in the locality and further afield actually think that the teacher is back working. He isn't. I know this. I'm in contact and he's in fear for his life. So if you'll hear me out. Good evening, everyone. It's humbling and heartening to see so many familiar and new faces who I'm aware have travelled from afar to be here tonight. Thank you for being here and thank you for supporting free speech. 92 days ago, yes, 92 days ago, a young man, his partner and four young children awoke to a regular day of work and parenthood. This was sadly anything but a regular day. I want to take this opportunity to publicly put on record the sequence of events that have led us here tonight. There's been plenty of conjecture, hearsay, and at times outright lies surrounding this shameful abandonment of this teacher and his family. On the 22nd of March, this man, a teacher of religious studies, taught a lesson on religious tolerance. It is important to deal in facts surrounding this lesson. This lesson was part of the school curriculum and had been taught many, many times before, even before the teacher concerned arrived at school, something the media and other people will not want you to know. This lesson material was agreed after the content was approved by a head of department many months ago. It's also crucial to know that two Muslim teachers were consulted and agreed that the lesson and its contents were fine to be shown to all the students. To correct another misconception, the teacher did not produce any images whatsoever. They were part of a PowerPoint presentation that he and many other teachers had again presented previously. This lesson and previous lessons are driven by the right of educators to think freely and to engage their students in open, critical discussion in a contextualised manner. On March the 25th, a group of protesters arrived prior to school opening to demand an audience with the head teacher. Within the first 2 hours, Mufti Mohammed Pandor, the council leader Shabir Pandor's brother, turned up making demands and not seeking to calm the situation, he was, it seems, heightening it. Mufti Pando, ironically, represents a group titled the Peace Institute. I'll leave you to figure that one out. The head teacher, Mr. Gary Kebble, then issued a shameful and cowardly statement that effectively threw his colleague, the teacher, under the bus. And I quote, "The school unequivocally apologises for using a totally inappropriate resource in a recent religious studies lesson. The member of staff has also given their most sincere apology. Trust me, I will question that last sentence. We have immediately withdrawn teaching on this part of the course and we are reviewing how we go forward with the support of all the communities represented in the school." The MP at the time, Tracy Brabin, issued the first following public statement, which she deleted later, but I screenshot it because I knew she would. The upset and offence this has caused is understandable, but it was also predictable. I am pleased that the school has recognised it was inappropriate and apologised for the offence concerned. No consideration for the teacher, no consideration for his partner or his four children. I hope the school and concerned parents can now move forward constructively and focus on their children's education, overcoming the challenges presented by the pandemic. That'll be Boris's fault, according to Tracy. We have all seen, since the findings of the independent investigation, for which the teacher and his other colleagues were totally cleared and exonerated, a report that has now agreed to create its own de facto blasphemy laws. If this country is to have a blasphemy law, then it can only come after a manifesto pledge, a public vote, an election win, a white paper, a full parliamentary debate, scrutiny and vote, and it receives royal assent. It cannot be administered by people complaining outside school gates. That is not the country we live in. This goes to the very heart of what our ancestors have fought for and in many cases paid the ultimate price for. The statement confirming such does not once apologise to the teacher and any other staff who were suspended. The lack of transparency in its contents is telling. The implication being that he can go back to work there. He hasn't, he can't, and he may never feel safe enough to do so. Yet the head teacher, whose ultimate responsibility it is to oversee all elements of school life, is quite rightly living a normal life, going home to his family every night. Why, after 92 days, is this innocent young man not afforded the same basic human rights? Why won't the major candidates in the election not state in public that they stand with the teacher and demand he receives an apology? The same can be asked of the West Yorkshire Mayor Tracy Brabin and the council leader Xavier Pandor. This man is a constituent. His partner and four children they hope and purport to represent are seen as mere collateral damage when it comes to their desire to procure votes. So here we stand on the 24th of June 2021 in what people tell us is a modern secular nation. A good man and his wife and family are living in the shadows under fear of attack because he merely delivered a lesson sanctioned by the school, for which he has now been abandoned. This shameful injustice is a stain on our nation. A teacher so horrendously hounded that he and his family have to flee their home area and their loving wider families and friends without any support network. Whilst the very people who should be standing up and supporting them, the school, the governors, the government, his MP, and the very council that he lives under, are willing to ignore the facts and ignore his plight, leaving this young teacher a sacrificial lamb on the altar of political correctness.
Yes! Well said.
You may also ask, where are his union in this? Again, utterly without any shame, they have not publicly come out in support of their member. How can that be? The very same union that donated monies to local charity Purpose of Life, who named the teacher no less than five times in a statement within hours, knowing the full consequences of doing such. This is the most important issue in this by-election and in any election. I'm here, proud to stand shoulder to shoulder with a man and his family. It's what we do around here. We support our own. No matter what creed, colour or religion. Injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere. I stand with the teacher.
Okay, as I said at the start, this is a balanced debate. And we reached out to all parties, and we have a statement from Kim Ledbetter, the Labour candidate for Batley and Spen, which we shall now read out in the interest of keeping this balanced and fair. People are saying don't read it out, but I think I have to read it out because this has to be a fair and representative debate. So here's the statement, it's not long. I believe absolutely that in a strong, vibrant democracy, everybody should be free
to express their political views. We want vigorous, healthy debate in this country, but it also needs to be respectful. It is universally accepted across all democratic nations that the right to free speech comes with responsibilities. Incitement to hatred is rightly prohibited by law. But beyond that, we all have a duty to ensure that we conduct ourselves without resorting to abuse or intimidation. In the case of the Batley Grammar, the report, which I fully supported, made it clear that the materials used did cause offence and that the issue could have been addressed differently. But it also said that it was never the intention of the teaching staff to cause offence. Mistakes were made, but this was not done out of malice or ill intent. And in my statement at the time, I said it was completely unacceptable that a teacher and his family were forced into hiding. That's a statement from Kim Ledbetter. Make of it what you will, but I believe in taking all opinions on this. And that brings us on. Hey, pardon? Yeah, well, she was invited along tonight, but didn't want to come along. But anyway, we read out a statement. It's now time to move on to our next speaker tonight, Mr. George Galloway.
Thank you, Martin, Lawrence, Paul, ladies and gentlemen. Banning a rally on free speech is kind of peak Kirk Lee's counsel, don't you think? Only Kirk Lee's could think that was a good idea, and I'm glad to say that the police force have got more sense than to seek to enforce such a ban. But then I'm standing in front of a for sale sign of Batley Police Station, which has been closed and sold for the paltry sum of £246,000 to a property developer for luxury flats. Of all places, of all things, the Batley Police Station has been closed and sold for the price of a chip shop. I'm investigating to whom it's been sold, and if I'm elected as the MP, I'll be investigating it even more deeply, and I'll be investigating why it was sold for such a low price. I intend to open the books in Kirk Lee's if I get the chance to do so. Paul has just opened books tonight on this affair, which most people don't know about. And that's because neither the media nor the political class here has wanted the whole facts out into the open. We know the conclusion of the report into this affair, but we haven't seen the report. We want to see the report to work out whether or not they reached the right conclusion. And we can't do that until we have seen the report. I talk to Lawrence Fox all the time, and I hope to talk to Paul more deeply. And let me just say, I wish he'd been standing in this by-election. It would have been a much fairer fight. This man's almost miraculous achievement last time will, I hope, bear fruit next time, because I'll not be standing next time. But I am standing this time, and so you deserve to know where I stand on the issue of free speech. There are limits to free speech, the libel law being one of them. I've made use of that from time to time. Incitement to hatred and so on, violence, incitement to disorder, shouting fire in a darkened cinema, are all proscribed issues of free speech. But one of the reasons I talk with Lawrence all the time is I abhor this cancel culture.
Yes.
Where every person to the right of you is called far right, and if there are two steps to the right of you, they're called a fascist. Lawrence Fox is neither of these two things, and neither is Paul Halloran. We have to be able to have respectful, even profound disagreements,
yes,
without hating each other, without regarding each other as enemies, because as Lawrence so sagely said in his speech, we are all British,
yes,
here. All of us are British here. I was trending on Sunday morning on Twitter as far right. Because I supported Brexit, I'm far right. Because I opposed the cancel culture, I'm far right. And there's far too much of it. And we must stand up and fight it. We must fight for everyone's right to a point of view, including the teacher in the Batley Grammar School, who, from Paul's account, has been shamefully betrayed by those people above him in the chain of command in the local education area. If it's the case, as Paul said, that no image was shown in the classroom, then what was this all about? There is no proscription, even in the Islamic religion, to talking about depictions. I've just done it, and no one yet has stoned me for doing so. If there was no image in that lesson, then what was this all about? With such tragic consequences, not just for the family and the teacher, but for the reputation of this area. Already, we have one dark cloud over us, because here, a member of parliament was cruelly murdered on the streets whilst exercising her public duties. And now we've got another one, the Batley grammar issue. We want this place to be recognised in Britain and beyond for something better than those two things. And so we need a political class that has some brains and has some courage. Those lions, the lion and the tin man in The Wizard of Oz, strike me as a fair depiction of the political representation we've had around here. Labour are complaining there's a by-election, but it was them that caused the by-election. It was their MP doubling her money and going on to what she thought was a better job than the lowly task of representing this constituency in the House of Commons. Well, she may not have represented you. She's certainly flown the course. She's bolted and is now being even more handsomely remunerated for doing so. I am very concerned about what's taught in the schools. Some of you won't like this. I'm the father of five school-aged children. And I don't want my young children at primary school aged 7 and 9 taught about sex. I don't want them taught how to masturbate. I don't want them taught about anal sex. I don't want them taught that there's 99 genders. I don't want them taught that men can become women by the mere act of declaring themselves to be and end up in an Olympic team beating the actual girls and the actual women. I don't want them taught that parents chest feed when in fact it's women who breastfeed. Glory to women. Women hold up half the sky. This kind of woke, liberal identity politics is anathema to me. So I want parents' views on what their children are taught and when they are taught it to be taken properly into account. And in this area, that is not happening. We have a council so stupid, they sold a police station and tried to ban a free speech rally. Napoleon said that war is too important to be left to generals. Well, education is too important to be left to Mufti Pandor, Councillor Pandor, or teachers, or head teachers. We, the parents, have to have our wishes properly taken into account on the curriculum. In religious education, in PSE, in the way our history of our country is taught, so that our children are not taught to hate their own country, to think their own country is the worst country in the world, when in fact it's the best country in the world in which to live, which is why so many people want to come and live in it. I've gone on perhaps too long. I could have sent you a message. I could have sent you an email. Or like the Scarlet Pimpernel standing for the Tory party, I could have just disappeared. But Lawrence Fox invited me. Paul Halloran invited me. And it's my honour to stand on this platform with them. Thank you very much indeed.
The first speaker was glad that George Galloway isn't charged by the word. Anyway, so we've been approached during this debate by another couple of candidates who are standing locally. Would you like to hear from them?
Yeah.
Yeah, let's keep this full, open and inclusive. The next speaker is Ollie Purser. He's the candidate for the SDP. Ollie, the stage is yours.
Follow George Galloway. First of all, big thank you to Lawrence and everyone who's been instrumental in getting our support for the teacher heard. Thank you for turning up and supporting the teacher. I want to give a different spin, because as you can tell, I'm a bit young. I'm straight out of university, and I've got a story to tell about free speech at university. And then I want to tell you why free speech is essential to a social democratic future. At university, there's something called a student union. They're supposed to represent your students' views. Usually they're elected. Last year they weren't. The students voted for none of the above. What happened? The vote was cancelled. The people, the candidates, were appointed anyway. The candidates then went on to pass new regulations called the Freedom of Speech Policy. The Freedom of Speech Policy meant that anyone who wished to invite a speaker had to run it by the student union. And if it was deemed that that person could cause alarm or distress or was even controversial, the student union could say no. Who was it that decided whether that speaker caused alarm or distress or whether it was controversial? The student union itself. So we had an unelected, unrepresentative, unaccountable body deciding regulations for the rest of us. Now, where have I heard that before? All right, and I thought we voted to leave it. The SDP believes that our hard-won freedoms are the foundation for re-industrialising this country, bringing back jobs, pubs, families. They're all built on our fundamental values of freedom, tolerance, and fair play. Yeah. People come from all over the world to this country to experience the freedoms that we have fought for and defended for generations. So we know that every community, every faith, every group of people in this constituency and beyond believes in these fundamental values. So we will not let a few individuals divide us, intimidate us, or silence us. There are problems in certain communities up and down this country and in the wider environment. But we can all be united, wherever we come from, whatever our background, by British values of fair play, freedom, and tolerance. That's the cornerstone of a social democratic future, and that's what we want you to vote for in this election and every election hence. Thank you very much.
Okay, I'm going to move on to our next speaker, and I'm not going to ask him to mount the podium. The one-man legend, Screaming Lord Sutch for the Montserrat Looney Party.
He's got that wrong, and he hasn't got Screaming Lord Sutch at all, have I? You've got that wrong, my friend. I am Howling Lord Hope. Anyway, carrying on from what George said, I mean, George's a very good friend of mine also. We've come across each other lots of times. Yes, Batley needs to be known better than what it's known for at the moment, the two or three horrible things that have happened here. So, the official Monster Raven Looney Party have got this all sorted out. We will take the French out of Batley. Does that sound racist? Think about it. You do crosswords, you take the French out of Batley, you take out the LE, which makes Batley battier. Then, what we would do then is declare Batley to be a Disney World. Disney World in the middle of Yorkshire. Everybody will be working, everybody will be happy, everybody will be singing. Wouldn't they? Doesn't that deserve a round of applause? Hooray! Anyway, I am currently Britain's longest serving party leader. I've just done 22 years as leader of the Monster Raven Looney Party. I've just overtaken Clement Attlee, would you believe? What about that? I'm currently a town council in Flint, where I live, in Hampshire. And I've got a lot of connections up here in this area, I must admit. Spent a lot of time up here. I used to perform at the Batley Variety Club. That could be the centre of the Looneyverse, couldn't it? Anyway, there you are, folks. Vote for me. Thank you very much.
Okay, so yeah, first of all, I suppose if we just start with the real simple stuff, could you just tell me exactly what brings you to Batley today, what we're doing here right now?
We're here in Batley today to raise awareness, really, about the teacher who was handed out of his job from Batley Grammar School, which is an issue being ignored by the main political parties. And I feel that his story needs to be told and he needs to be stood up for, because it's not good what happened.
Why do you think that the main political parties and so much of the media are so silent on this?
I think that the main political parties, I think in the Conservative case, it's because they've got an 80-seat majority and they don't want to get involved in these issues. And I think in Labour's case, they care more about what's going on 1,000 miles away than they do about what's happening in their own constituency.
It does feel slightly obscene, though, doesn't it, that something so prominent that really you think would be the centrepiece of the discussions around this by-election is it's not even getting a slight mention. They're not even paying lip service to it. It's just utter silence.
Shameful. Shameful. But, you know, that's what you get when Labour stop being Labour and the Conservatives turn into the Green Party. You don't know what's going on. The Conservatives should be speaking about this and the main political parties should be speaking about this. They don't. We came here, Paul Hurren and I have been speaking a lot. And, you know, I didn't want to just turn up in somewhere and, you know, ask people to vote for me. I want to get to know an area because I'm growing a political party.
Yeah, that's something I was going to ask you about. You and Paul both stood down from the by-election. Could you talk me through both of your decisions to stand down?
Well, you'd have to ask Paul, but I mean, basically, we came to the conclusion that we didn't want to split the vote. We need to get rid of Labour. I mean, you know, they've just stopped representing the working man. They've stopped doing what it says on the tin, you know. So we need to get rid of Labour. They're imploding, and they need a new leader who is into looking after and representing the rights of the working man in this country. And we didn't want to split the vote, so we'd rather the Tories are the less disgusting of two bad medicines.
And then what would be the plan moving forward tactically? Then you step down for tactical reasons. What does the future hold in that respect for this area and your involvement in it?
We're just going to come and meet people and introduce ourselves to people and let people know that we exist and that we're going to be standing for them come the general election.
I'll just a couple more questions and then we'll be done. Thanks for your time. Could you just tell me briefly, let's say that I had no idea of the free speech issue in this country. I knew nothing about it. I was coming to this conversation completely naively. How would you summarise exactly what we're facing and what's happening, the dynamic of free speech and these differing cultures and ideas in the UK right now?
Well, we did some polling with Savannah Comrades and half the country are frightened to speak their minds. So that's a free speech crisis in my book, and it needs addressing, and it will be addressed.
One more question about the, I suppose something that I'm interested to know is that there's been so much political correctness in the name of wokeness over these last few years, and it seems like every sort of demographic group is their feelings and their sensitivities have to take complete foremost of everyone's attention. Is it any surprise that the Muslim community wants a slice of the action, if you will?
What, in terms of wokery?
In terms of just what they're like, well, every other demographic is being listened to. We're bowing down to people in regards to race and sexuality and identity politics. In a way, in the current climate, it almost seems reasonable that they want their consensus.
I just think we're all British, you know? And if we just put British first, we're fine. You know, I'm not a Christian before I'm British. I'm not Muslim before I'm British. Not white before I'm British. I'm just British. Not straight before I'm British. I'm just British. It's very simple. And that's what it needs to be.